My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the show. We're taking you up to 6:30. We are sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you so that you can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. As promised, caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You are winning 2 tickets to see Kevin Hart Acting My Age Tour, Sunday, September 15th. DAR Constitution Hall, awesome venue. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. We'll get to Ben Standing in just one moment. Here's the quick details, though, as teased before the break. Tuesday, fantasy draft. If you want to get in the Grant and Danny Listener League, go to at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. We've got tweets out with how you can get in pinned at the top of our accounts. You can also go to facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Essentially, DR, people are taking a quiz.
Yep.
The people that get the best grades are going to get into the league. We got 10 spots open. Then we're going to be drafting Tuesday night from Highline R&R over in Crystal City. If you're in the league, you'll be in the live draft with us. If you're not, you should come hang out. We're eating wings, having some drinks, being merry, and just schnicking it up and talking about football. Should be a great time.
It is awesome. That venue is really, really cool. I love it up there. The food is great. It's an excellent atmosphere.
Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, our good buddy Ben Standing of The Athletic, who had a great piece dropped today that we want to discuss with him, an agent survey that he does annually. That's one of my favorite pieces of literature put out at this point by anybody covering the league. But before we get to that, Ben, we have not talked to you since the roster got formed. Let's start with the Noah Brown trade. Do you think this is something they had in the works for a little while with some understanding maybe that he was going to get cut and that's why they didn't claim any receivers? What's your take on not only the transaction but the role he might play?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. So, I mean, I heard Adam Peters tell you guys that they were interested in Noah Brown back in free agency. And when I was doing my, like, hey, here are guys I think they should target, he was, like, I think my third player on the list. It made sense, and it sounded like it was something that was plausible. I didn't know exactly what happened other than just he went back to Houston. So it seemed like there was obviously a connection there. And, yesterday morning before the claims were done, I was tweeting about, hey, I think Noah Brown makes sense. And, you hear things. So I assume that they had a sense that this was a possibility to get done. And also, like, Noah Brown was in Dallas when Dan Quinn was there. So, there's a lot of connections. He played in college with Terry at Ohio State, et cetera. So, the thing with this receiver room now is we all get it, right? It's Terry McLaurin, and then we'll see. But all the guys at least have an individual trait that when you're looking for a specific thing, they have somebody can do it. You need the deep ball, you have Diami. You want the slot guy who can be a bit slithery, you have Zacchaeus. Now they have the sort of the bigger blocker type who can still be a bit of a playmaker, and that's Noah Brown. So it fits into kind of what they have. It's not like he's a dynamic receiver, but he can do specific things that they didn't have in this room, namely have that size and a little extra bulk to help them. So, you know, it makes sense to me for what it is. That, you know, it's a patchwork situation at that spot, you know, again, beyond Terry. So, you know, play the place, drive the drive. We'll see who's going to be sort of the main pieces. But, yeah, I like Noah Brown. And obviously fantasy football players know he had a massive, like, three-week stretch last year where he was, like, one of the best receivers production-wise in the league. So not expecting that every week, but it's a guy that can make plays. And, yeah, I think it's a pretty good addition at this point in the scenario.
Buy or sell, he catches the second most passes and has the second most yards among the receiving core. Not among not all receivers like tight ends, running backs, et cetera. But among the wideouts, he's number two in both those categories, yards and catches.
Oh, boy, it's funny. I had a similar discussion like this on my podcast yesterday. Like, other than Terry, like, who's the next guy? Basically, who's going to do their role next? And I think we kind of settled on Diami, but for your specific question, it could be. It's a weird group. I mean, if you told me to, like, just in terms of receptions, that Zacchaeus is the guy, because it's going to be a lot of probably underneath stuff. He did. I know he had, you know, minimal catches last year, but he had 40 a couple years ago. So I'll probably go to Zacchaeus if we're just talking catches, but I don't see it being a runaway between any of those three guys we just mentioned.
Ben, did anything really surprise you from cutdown day? I mean, you're so in deep with this thing that, you know, you've probably worked all the angles more than we have, but was anything particularly interesting?
I mean, not really. Obviously, the KJ Henry, releasing him, I think kind of was a little bit surprising, but, you know, I can't go too crazy about a fifth round pick from a year ago, and we saw how, you know, we saw the bloodletting of that 2023 class across the board.
NFL Network analyst Ron Rivera's draft class, by the way.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah. I saw.
Can't wait
that
to hear what he thinks about the 2025 draft.
I really liked it. I did. Okay.
Well, yeah. Congrats to Ron for that gig. Yeah, so, I mean, not a ton. I mean, like, I'm not saying I got, like, every pick right one of my 53, but it was a lot of 50-50 calls. I think the one thing I didn't get, and I played stubborn with this, I didn't put Jeremy McNichols on my 53, even though it seemed to be the way things were going, because it didn't make logical sense. This is a guy who hasn't touched the ball in 2 years. He only played three games last year, didn't play it all the year before. Guys like Jeremy McNichols are kind of all over the place, right? I mean, last year they had, Derek Gore. He's kind of the same guy on the practice squad. You're saying you couldn't have let Jeremy McNichols go through waivers, keep KJ Henry, and then, similar to what they just did with Ridgeway, see about possibly trading him the next day, and then you put McNichols back on the practice squad. You already have, you know, then we know they brought back Wiley and Chris Rodriguez. So you would have had a third running back for week one. That's my only, like, hey, why, I don't know why you didn't do that, but obviously they felt they couldn't risk it. So other than that, not really. I mean, it all kind of made sense. I mean, kudos to, you know, Colson Yankoff for first slipping in there as the fourth tight end. He really impressed them as an athlete, as a special teams performer.
By the way, Ben, I don't know, maybe I'm just not diving deep enough into it, but it wasn't really until this week, a few nights ago, that I watched some of his highlights from UCLA. Oh, my God. I don't know if people have seen this guy. He was a quarterback when he showed up, basically, in college. And then they used him as a running back at 6'4", and as a wide receiver. Like, most of his highlights are in the backfield as a running back at 6'4", which doesn't really exist. He's just running over dudes. It was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, to have played three different positions, including one being a quarterback, says a lot about your athleticism as well as your mental dexterity, you know, to have to learn how to these different spots, and obviously quarterback being, you know, such a challenging one. So, yeah, I mean, they really viewed him as a project, and it delivered for them. And, you know, again, I think he's going to be probably one of their better special teams players, at least, you know, the weeks he's active, and maybe that'll be them all. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's an example. Again, nothing's happened. He hasn't played a game yet, so I can't go too crazy. But it seems like an example of, you know, some good scouting on their part, good projection, not to, you know, seeing a guy and thinking, how can we take this lump of clay and mold it into something? And it seems like they think they've started to do that.
Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. Johnny Newton, what do we expect here? He didn't play in the preseason, really, and it's been day-to-day for a while now, but overall prognosis encouraging. But what are you anticipating from him early and maybe then as the season progresses?
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen him, really. You know, even like today, Dan Quinn said, that Newton will be practicing next week, you know, for real, and they'll get a better feel then of what's going to happen. Except that I thought, maybe I'm wrong, I thought we were told earlier in the week that he, or last week, that he would be out there this week. So I don't want to say that it's starting to feel like 2021 Curtis Samuel, because that's not fair. I don't know, but it's, you know, the bar has been moved enough times that I'm just sort of waiting now for it to happen. Obviously, that he's a really talented player. They have a lot of high hopes for him. You know, easily could have gone in the first round, slipped to the top of the second, and they decided to pounce. And you know, I've heard nothing but good things about what he could possibly bring. But you know, he had these, you know, two procedures for these Jones fractures on both feet. Now he's been dealing with a soft tissue issue for the whole training camp. So we just haven't seen him. Well, you know, is he going to be ready? Is he going to be in football shape? That type of deal. So I don't know. It's highlighted a bit more because they just traded away Ridgeway, which I'm fine with that. You know, we're talking a short-term versus a long-term view, and I'm fine with that. But yeah, I have a lot of questions about what he'll deliver. But I think once he gets out there, if he's healthy, I think, you know, he should be a pretty good reserve coming in to give a lot of energy and collapsing pocket talent whenever Allen or Payne needs to, you know, take a rest.
We'll know it's Curtis Samuel 2.0 when someone asks if he might need surgery and Dan yeah. Quinn screams at them, only to then find out a couple days later that he's already had surgery.
Don't even bring that up because it happened.
Come on. We're just funning.
We're just funning.
Just having fun. We're going to get to Ben Standing's piece in The Athletic. You should check out. In fact, there's several of them. But he quizzed a bunch of the agents in the NFL, did a survey on all kinds of fun categories. So it's a lot of info on teams and how they run their operations and players and how they're handling situations. And it's always one of my favorite things of the year. We'll get to that in a second. One last Commanders thing. Same question on Brandon Coleman. Now, he did practice, I believe, right? He's back on the field?
Yeah, he was back. We were told without restrictions. You know, we're now officially at the time, as you know, where we only see the first 10-15 minutes sure. of stretching, and that's it. So I don't quite know what he did, but yes, he was out there at least for a little bit that we could see, and you know, seemed to be practicing.
Would you think there's a chance he could start at left tackle for week one, or is that ship sailed?
I mean, you know, Dan Quinn said like a week or so ago he's not worried about him missing time. It's just, you know, hopefully the guy is healthy. So I guess if he's ready to go, he's, you know, I mean, he hasn't, you know, he didn't play in any preseason games, right? He hasn't practiced for several weeks with his shoulder and pectoral strain. So it's obviously just a matter of, you know, where he is at across the board. He had already, I won't say he had already won the left tackle job, but he certainly seemed like the momentum was going that way. So yeah, I think obviously this coming week will, you know, it'll say a lot because they're going, you know, week one is upon us. Just a couple days away. So I think there's a chance for sure. But, you know, week one, he hasn't been out there all summer. It kind of feels like that would be pushing it a bit much, especially, you know, with the precious cargo at quarterback.
All right, Ben, let's get to your piece in The Athletic. It's the agent survey. You do this every year. Folks, tell folks about it, kind of the process, and maybe some headlines. What'd you find out?
Yeah, this is a sixth annual agent survey I've done. It's a way, you know, I going back to the origins of this, you know, the agents are interesting, right? I mean, we have maybe certain perceptions of agents, you know, the used car dealer and all that stuff. But the reality is, you know, these are the people that represent the players, which means they're also dealing directly with the teams, the executives.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
But also, obviously, the coaches and, you know, sometimes the league office itself. So they really are kind of all over the place and have a feel for what's happening. So, yeah, I use this to kind of ask them about things like, you know, which GMs do you think are the, you know, the best talent evaluators or the ones you trust the most. In the past, I had trust the least, and people who may or may not have worked for this local organization were often mentioned there. You know, then other, you know, more pertinent questions to the moment. What do they think of as an agent, what Atlanta did, you know, drafting Michael Penix when you have Kirk Cousins? Where are they at with what Jerry Jones, how he's handled Dallas's offseason, particularly with Dak Prescott? The receiver market's been blowing up. Is it going to keep going up, or do they, from their point of view as negotiators, think there's going to be a softening coming, which they generally do at the pretty top? And then a bunch of other questions. And the Commanders were featured as well because they actually got a lot of votes in a couple of categories. And for the first time in a while, they were positive votes. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, I always go to the most unstable franchise question, and the Commanders are right at the top. And this year, that was not the case. Panthers, Raiders, Jets, Jaguars, Cowboys, Cardinals, Broncos took the cake there. I think one person maybe still said the Commanders, but what I love about this is not only does Ben give you, you know, and the Athletic does a nice job with how they lay it out visually. They work on graphics for a lot of this and have charts. But one of the things I really like is you have like the quotes, unnamed obviously, but from certain agents. So just as an example, you ask who the best run franchise is, and the Eagles and the 49ers got the most responses. But then you have, you know, an agent saying 49ers, the way they treat people and don't skimp on expenses. Or someone else says, you have to fit within their culture, but they allow players and employees to be themselves. They win even while getting the staff poached, you know, every other year by teams or whatever. Like, those types of little additive comments, I think, add a lot to this. What were some of the categories that are either new or that you found particularly interesting this year?
Well, to the one you said about the unstable category. So I ultimately talked to 31 agents. I swear I'm not exaggerating. At least 10. When I presented the question, I talked to them on the phone. Here's the question. And they pause for a minute and they go, oh, boy, this was a lot easier when Washington was a joke and I could just pick them all the time.
Right.
So that happened a lot. I always find the general manager questions interesting. There's like 4, 5, 6 of them, depending on what we lay out. Again, it's like, you know, who's the best one? Who's the best evaluator? Who do you trust the most? Who's an up-and-coming one? By the way, the up-and-coming one, again, this is the 6th year I've done it. In the previous 5 years, Adam Peters came in first or was tied for first 3 times. So,
wow.
You know, it's been a long time coming, obviously, for him to get this opportunity. And he was the one being patient more than, I think, other, you know, other teams. But, you know, his reputation has been out there for a bit, and this year, Brandon Sosna was one of the ones in that category who got a lot of attention. Who's obviously now running operations for the Commanders.
What does he actually do? By the way, is he an analytics guy, or like what is he doing for them?
So when he was with the Lions, he was basically their main contract.
So he's a cap guy.
Yeah, so he basically is the new Rob Rogers, with Rob Rogers still being there. But he has more responsibilities than just that. You know, when Eugene Shen exited, Sosna was the one who's now overseeing the analytics department. And, you know, I didn't even use all the quotes. I have some, you know, for some stories that will come up at some future time. But the praise for him is pretty effusive. I mean, like, he's 31. It's pretty impressive the way people were responding to him.
He's 31, Sosna?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was like mid to late 30s. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, and he, you know, he had a big role at USC a couple years ago, and then went to the Lions, and obviously with Lance Newmark, I'm sure there was, you know, a sense of, hey, Britt, we got to get this guy over here. Like, if Adam Peters wasn't sort of the boy wonder guy that they have, I think Sosna would be the one that people would be going, yeah, this guy, here's the one who you're going to look at next. But yeah, so that's those are some of the interesting ones. Another one that's interesting is I always ask this question of the agents. You know, tell me one thing. I give you the power to change whatever you want in the league. What's the one thing you would change? And this typically they always go with, get rid of the franchise tag or guarantee the money. So I didn't let them pick that this year. But they have a lot, you know, they have a lot of interesting thoughts about, you know, the game itself, whether it's, hey, you got to give these players, you know, if you're going to have 18 games, you got to give these guys more rest, more buys, things like that. They talked about, you know, again, sensible things like, hey, really, you got to get rid of all the artificial turf. But they had some like specific ways, specific ideas that I thought were pretty interesting in there as well. And, you know, again, then there's some of the more fun stuff like, look, I don't do this to get negative answers, but when they give me the negative answers, it can be kind of fun, obviously. And, you know, a lot of questions about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and, you know, has it all sort of passed him by, how much of a challenge it is to deal with them, you know, that they just kind of wait and wait and wait. And we're seeing that obviously here with the Dak Prescott. Honestly, I kept worrying that I was going to get screwed and this, I would have to take the Dak Prescott question out because they would get a deal done. But fortunately, the stalemate continues. And like I said, a lot of these guys, and that's, I think what the good thing is, these agents, you know, especially the ones who are the bigger, you know, either the bigger agents or work at bigger firms, they work with every team. So it's not like you're just talking to somebody who only has a handful of, he's only worked with a couple of groups. They work with them all. So they're not just comparing, saying, here's my experience with this group. Here's my experience with this group in comparison to all the other ones. And I think that really helps, you know, give a feel for who's, you know, who's good, who's got some questions about what they do, and so on.
Yeah, I love some of those answers, Ben. But one I want to pull out in particular, you know, so a lot of these are self-serving for agents. Help the players, aka me, make more money. Agents shouldn't charge lower rates. It's like, sorry, you're in a competitive field. What are you going to do about that? But one answer I actually thought was brilliant, and I never thought of it, but I think it'd be really, really good. Again, it's not incentivized for the league to do this, but I think this should be a rule. Any 3 years or less contract should be fully guaranteed. I think that's the way for the players to kind of get this started, to get the ball rolling. It's not just, you know, astronomical signing for a quarterback, get him a bunch of guaranteed money, and then that's kind of the outlier. The short-term one, that might be the way for them to get the ball rolling in that direction. I thought that was really interesting and thoughtful.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was another one. It was like, you know, we know about the, you know, they can lock, you know, they if I can restricted free agent, they can kind of like hold the player up, and then eventually they can release them. And somebody's idea was, cool, if you want to do that, that's fine, but you've got to make at least some of that money guaranteed. That way, because what happens a lot of times is the player gets held and then they let him go. And now all of a sudden the market's kind of dried up. And, you know, I think that was a good way to help the players out. Another one was, you know, obviously with college, you have the one and done. You don't have one and done in football. You got to be there at least 3 years, but it was the idea, like specifically for running back, like either A, let running backs go early, or B, just let them go early. And you know, that way you're getting, you know, these guys can go make more money. I know we don't want to ruin college football, but for maybe for running back specifically, just let it happen. I know it's a little weird to have like a one-off like that, but you know, ways to get these guys, you know, more money. I mean, I think that's one of the things that's always tough about cutdown day. It's not just the fact that for some of these guys, their dream might be over, but you know, obviously this is how they're making a living. And as we know, there's no guaranteed contracts are pretty few and far between. Certainly none of them are in full, but even if the ones who are mostly full, it's like the quarterbacks or stars and the guys who are at the bottom half of the roster, you never know, you know, and we see that here, obviously, with some of these guys who've been let go, and any way to help them get more money and have some more security, I certainly would be in favor of.
I'm still kicking myself. I didn't realize Sosna was that young. That was the only person, not to knock Newmark, who I really, really like. But that I had more people reach out to me around football when they hired Sosna to say nice things than any other move they made. And the fact that he's 31, I don't know why I didn't know that, but that's a show. I mean, that's pretty amazing. It's just been so long since they've had guys like that here, by the way. Like, a couple of them in the building that could turn into GMs. I also like, for the record, Peters today on our show shouted out Newmark as the voice behind the scenes, kind of standing on the table for going and getting what Noah Brown. Also, they did a press conference with him today. A lot of organizations don't do that with assistant GMs. You know, Peters just did one yesterday. It's not like they had to give Newmark the availability with the media. So it's pretty clear he's also, you know, creating an environment where his guys get some shine and get some love, which I think is a really cool way to do it. One other thing really quickly. I saw Peters already had three votes for best talent evaluator among 31 mm-hmm. responses. I think Schneider and Veach beat him out, maybe Gutekunst or something. But what do you make of that? I mean, the guy's been a GM for a couple hours. Obviously, he was well-known before that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, it's been pretty established, right, that, like, you know, Kyle Shanahan obviously is sort of in charge of the 49ers, but he's busy with his day job of coaching the team, and John Lynch is a little more of like a administrative kind of guy, and Adam Peters was the talent evaluator, particularly with college. He had a lot of success. I think you guys asked him, right, about what do you make of late-round picks, and he says he loves them. He should, because if you look at the track record he's had with the 49ers, he's had a lot of hits on day three. So, yeah, I mean, his reputation is pretty impressive already. And, he got mentioned positively in several categories, as did the team. So, yeah, to your point, this is a guy that wouldn't even have, even if they had called before, wouldn't have even taken the interview here. And now he's here. So is a guy like Sasson, again, an up-and-comer. And it's, not only is he talented, I think it's just there's fresh energy, young energy for the first time in forever, right? Whether you're talking about Ron Rivera and his group or Bruce Allen before that, this is the first time in a while it's more modern thinking people running the show. That hasn't been here in a long time, and I think, now they're starting to catch up with that, and I think that's why I've liked a lot of their moves. They're forward thinking. It's not just standard, check off this box, check off that box, we're good. He's thinking outside the box. He's finding ways to make moves, to pinch up with trades. And, yeah, I think it's all been pretty good so far.
Ben, thank you as always, buddy. Really appreciate it, dude. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on to talk about that.
Yeah, you got it. I know it's a big undertaking, but it's a great read. It's well worth the work. So go check it out, The Athletic. It's the agent survey, 31 agents. It's just good little nuggets, like insider trading. That's the kind of stuff that – I think as a fan, you want to pull back the curtain a little bit on how the sausage is made. And to me, that's what that PC does every year is.
So, yeah, and so many years past, just as a point of reference, when you'd read it, it's like, yeah, I don't trust Bruce Allen, or I don't like dealing with Washington because they're not always upfront in their dealings. That little thing, that matters. You can offer the most money and get one guy. Can you get the next guy? Can you get the guy after that? It's like think about like college recruiting. A high school coach tells a college coach, this will be the best player you ever have. He'll have the best attitude. He's awesome. He's incredible. And he comes to school, screws around, fails out, gets in trouble. Well, the next time you have a high school, have a player, that college coach isn't going to believe you anymore. Like you got to have forthright and good quality dealings. And you could see these teams with good management and good leadership somehow end up at the top of these lists a lot.
If you missed any part of today's show, including our preview of the college football season, week one kicking off tonight, big night in college football. Danny Cannell was fantastic. Of course, Adam Peters was on the show with us, extremely gracious of his time, gave us 25 good minutes. Make sure you check out that interview, thefandc.com. We're going to be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Among others, Armin Katayan will be joining the show, which is very, very cool. Wrote a book about the state of college football and college sports. Excited to talk with him. Linnell's got overtime all evening long, all the way up until 10. We're keeping you live and local on the Fan, so keep it right here on 106.7. For Darris and for Ryan and for that chiming computer, Grant and
Later,
Danny
computer.
Saying so long. Thank you, computer, for your hard work today and for not crashing.
Till
tomorrow.
Vargas?
Who put a question mark on the teleprompter?
Thank you for coming.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare Where to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!